So last week here in Hebrews 11, we began looking at Moses and how the Lord used his faith, and not only to do great things, but also to be an example to us. And God recorded it in his word. And so in talking about Moses, let's start at verse 23 again and just have a bit of a review from last week, and then I want to dive into a new topic. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So all of that stems from the life of Moses. But tonight we're going to focus on verse 28, where it says they kept the Passover. So let's pray. Lord, use your word tonight to teach and grow us. We thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you that we have a building to meet in, that we have air conditioning, and that we have a copy of your word. And now we pray the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So last week we focused on, verse 23, really it says by faith Moses, but he was a baby. It was his parents that by faith put him in that ark of bulrushes and put him out into the water. Of course, God worked a miracle and he got raised by Pharaoh. But then last week we saw how he made a decision to count the glories of heaven greater riches than the earthly riches that he had as an adopted son of Pharaoh, and how God wants us to also maintain that perspective that glory is much greater, and that we should be living for eternity rather than living for the things on the earth. And then in so that was up through verse 27 last week, and then verse 28, the Bible says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So it's talking about how Moses led in that final 10th plague on Egypt, but then it also shows how the people followed his leadership and example, and by faith they kept the Passover. And of course the Passover is a beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, and so we're going to focus on that this evening. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12 and see what we can learn just in a short little study this evening from this Passover that took place, the first one in Egypt. Remember, Israel continued to celebrate the Passover per God's commandment way beyond the first one. And remember, even when Jesus went to the upper room with his disciples just prior to the Garden of Gethsemane, that was actually to celebrate the Passover. And so the first Lord's Supper, which is often referred to as the Last Supper, was actually the Passover, all in one. But let's look at the original Passover and see what we can learn. So notice verse 1 of chapter 12 in Exodus. Now this has already, they've already had the 9 plagues. God's gotten Pharaoh's attention. He's gotten Egypt's attention. A lot of people have died. A lot of animals have died. And this final plague is the one, of course, that convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. But it says in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And so God said, I'm going to reset the calendar, and the Passover month is going to be the first month, because I want you to remember every year how important the Passover is. Well, when we partake of the spiritual Passover, which as we're going to see is Jesus Christ, that is a new beginning for us too, isn't it? The Bible says we become a new creature when we trust Christ as Savior. And it really resets our clock in that becomes our spiritual birthday. the day that we trust Christ and we're born again. So we can see that picturing a new beginning where God said this is going to be now the beginning of months. So in verse 3 it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." By the way, this is the first usage in the Bible of the word congregation. We understand now what that word means, but I think that this is also God picturing that He would not only give us a new beginning through the Passover, but also through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on Calvary and His resurrection, and then up through the day of Pentecost, the church had its beginning. And now we have congregations or assemblies meeting in the name of Jesus Christ, the Passover. But notice it says a lamb for each house. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Keep your place here in Exodus 12. And we'll see that the Apostle Paul explains to us that the Passover wasn't just a picture of Jesus, but that for us as Christians in the New Testament, He is our Passover. Notice 1 Corinthians 5, 7. The Bible says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." So, he again, I think this came up during question and answer time about leaven. Leaven pictures sin. And God says that we are now unleavened. What does that mean? It means that we are justified. We're sinless in Christ because now He has taken all of our sins upon Himself. And then it says He is our Passover. Christ, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, verse 8, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So Paul here is taking what we call the Lord's Supper, the physical Lord's Supper, and he's spiritualizing it. And saying that we need to remove the leaven, which when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we use unleavened bread, just like the Jews did, for that reason, because leaven pictures sin. That's why it tastes kind of bland, because it doesn't have a raising agent in it, which is the leaven. But he here says the leaven of malice and wickedness. So he's now talking about our spiritual walk with Christ. And he says, instead of the unleavened bread, instead of the leaven of malice and wickedness, I want you to have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I want you to live for Jesus now, who is your Passover, and I want you to get rid of that leaven, that sin, and I want you to live for Jesus Christ. Be an unleavened Christian, in other words. So we see that there's multiple meanings there. But remember, when John the Baptist saw Jesus there in John chapter 1, the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," in John 1:29. So Jesus Christ, as the Passover, is the Lamb. And when we get to the book of Revelation, the Bible refers to Him as the Lamb of God. When it pictures Him in heaven, God refers to Him as that lamb. So the whole congregation for each family was to get a lamb. And if you go back there to Exodus 12, now look at verse 4. The Bible says, "If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him in his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, and shall make your count for the lamb." So what is that saying? That make sure there's enough for everyone. And doesn't the Bible say that everyone can be saved? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in other words, if there was a poor family and they really couldn't afford to get a lamb, then they would share with their neighbor. They would come into the house and have a meal together, or the Passover meal together. Verse 5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Without blemish. If you look down at verse 46, God expands upon that and says, In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. So while they were eating the Passover lamb, they had to be very careful not to break any of the bones. Isn't that interesting? Why would that matter? Well, it's all about blemishes and picturing sin. But when you get to Calvary in John chapter 19, let's turn over there. It shows us the huge significance of the fact that the soldiers, as they were breaking the legs of everyone that was hanging on crosses, they didn't break Jesus' legs. And God recorded that for us because that was important. If He's going to be the Passover lamb, and the Passover lamb was not to have any broken bones, then Christ couldn't have any broken bones. So notice John 19, verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. So now when we read that sentence, we could see the significance of it. It's not just that Christ had already died, which is important, but why? Because if He was still breathing, then they would have broken His legs like they did the two thieves. But since He was already dead, they didn't break His legs. And the beautiful fulfillment of the Passover wasn't tarnished. Now go to 1 Peter 1 where we read about the blemish part. So not only was the lamb to not have broken bones, but as we read there, it was to be without blemish. In other words, it could have no problems with its skin. It had to be a normal lamb. In other words, no issues with it. No obvious visual issues with its general health. And of course, what was that? Why was that important? Well, because Jesus is sinless. Note 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, look at this next phrase, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What's that referring to? The Passover. A lamb without blemish and a lamb without spot. That's Jesus, our lamb. So back to Exodus 12. As we continue looking at this first Passover celebration, the Bible says in verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. An innocent lamb had to die, not only for the meal, but also to provide the blood, as we will see, to put on the doorposts. But the blood didn't come from anything that was guilty. The blood came from an innocent lamb. And the blood that paid for our sins came from an innocent lamb. Amen? Jesus Christ, who was sinless. So the lamb was killed, just as Christ was killed for us. Verse 7, they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. You know, many would look at this and say, this is quite barbaric. It's one thing to kill an innocent animal. Well, man had been doing that for centuries and eating animals. But then to actually take the blood and put it on the outside of your house to put, you know, raw animal blood on the outside of your house, many people would say, well, that's kind of, yeah, barbaric. But I think the Romans were quite barbaric in their crucifixions. But Jesus suffered all that for us. And I want us to understand tonight that it wasn't enough that the lamb was killed and it shed blood, but then the blood had to be applied. You see that? So the Bible says that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Right? He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. Jesus shed His blood for every single human being that's ever lived. But that doesn't mean that every human being is going to heaven. The blood has to be applied. And when that death angel came in and killed the firstborn in every house, if the blood had not been applied on the outside of the house, even though it might have been shed, inside the house when the animal was killed, if it wasn't applied, the death angel still would come and kill the firstborn in that home. So the blood must be applied. We must make a decision in our lives to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when that happens, what does the Bible say? We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood gets applied to our account. And so that's very, very important. In other words, there is no universalism in the Bible. And by universalism, I mean people that believe that by virtue of being a human being, we're all going to heaven because God's all of our, He's our Father. But if you look in Scripture, He's not our Father until we get saved. The devil's our Father. So it had to be applied, and that is so important. Not only that, but did you see that it's in public view? God could have said, you can apply it on the inside of the door. So why was it important that it be applied to the outside of the door? Because it was publicly saying, I am, God has told me to do this to protect myself from the death angel, and I'm not ashamed of it. And what's the first thing Jesus asked us to do after we get saved? We'll get baptized, which is public. To publicly declare, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He saved me from my sins. And so it's not just a coincidence that God wanted it on the outside where others could see, they put blood on their door and they put blood on their door. And then, of course, it says that they ate the lamb. Verse 8, they ate of the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So the unleavened bread, again, we see, there it is. And all through Scripture, like we saw 1 Corinthians 5:8, leaven pictures sin. And so that's why they ate unleavened bread with the lamb, to show that the lamb would be, the Lamb of God, Jesus, would be sinless. And that's why when we have the Lord's Supper together, the bread that we eat is unleavened. Because we're picturing the body of Jesus Christ. So we've got the blood and the body. The bread picturing the body, the blood, of course, is picturing the blood. And let nothing remain. So, why was that important? Well, because salvation is a one-time event. You don't get saved and then get saved again next year and get saved again next year or get saved again next month. You get saved and you're saved once for all. As we read in Hebrews 10:10. And this first Passover, even though they're going to have a celebration later, in the celebration there wasn't the blood on the doorpost and the death angel. This was a one-time event where the death angel came through and they were protected from the death angel by the blood on the doorpost. That was a one-time picture of the future when Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, would shed His blood. And if we apply it to our account, then we are protected from death. We will never die, the Bible says in John 11. So, both are pictured there. The fact that it was a one-time event, the fact that the bread pictured the body of Christ, and then the blood pictured the blood of Christ. Look at verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know, when we looked earlier in Hebrews 11, where it says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Here we have Jews. They've been in Israel for 400 years. But they were still Jews. They hadn't lost their national identity. They hadn't lost they had lost some of their worship for Jehovah. But they still believed that they were right, that Jehovah is the one true God, the creator of the universe, and that the Egyptians were wrong, that there just aren't multiple gods, that we worship nature and the sun and moon and all that. So he's reminding them that they are sojourners in a strange land. Even though it had been over 400 years, you're about ready to be delivered from this land. So I want you to eat it with your shoes on, and you're dressed and ready to go, and your staff in your hand. because I'm about to deliver you from this strange land. And of course he did, didn't he? Not long after this, they went through the Red Sea and they were delivered from Egypt. God killed all the soldiers and so forth. But if you go to 1 Peter 2, the Bible says we're pilgrims too. And the day that we get saved, our home changes, doesn't it? Before we're saved, our eternal destination is hell. After we get saved, our eternal destination is heaven. Before we get saved, we only live for this earth. That's all we care about. That's all we focus on is here. After we get saved, our focus then becomes a different place, heaven. Which is why, look at 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We are strangers and pilgrims because this world is not my home. Just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So let's go back to Exodus 12. We'll finish up this passage as we see this first Passover mentioned here in Hebrews 11, but verse 13, and this is, of course, the key verse of the whole thing. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And somebody wrote a hymn that we sing sometimes, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Bible says, in all things, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, Hebrews 9:22, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that our sins can be remitted. We're told in Revelation 1:5 that He washed us from our sins in His own blood. And so God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. He still says it to us today. When He sees the blood, no judgment. Praise God. Because judgment is death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It was the death angel that came through that night at that first Passover. So when God sees the blood on us, we don't have to face the second death. We get eternal life instead. Amen? And he says in verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance. How long? Forever. Now in heaven, we will be in the presence of the Lamb of God. Imagine that. But in some form or another, it looks like we're still going to have a remembrance of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Even in heaven. And we don't know how that will be, or God just doesn't reveal it to us. But we'll be with Jesus. Amen. So remember, it is a memorial. Go to Psalm 77 and we'll close this evening. Does God want us to remember that we got saved? Absolutely. It's even good to remember the day you got saved. Some people might not know the exact day, but it never hurts to keep telling people about that day. We're supposed to. Notice Psalm 77, verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. God wants us to remember. This is a memorial. And the day you got saved, God wants you to always daily remember God saved you from death. God saved you from hell through the blood of the Lamb of God. The Passover, Jesus Christ. And by faith, the Bible says, through faith, they kept the Passover.